Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today is Kenny Burrell, one of the most lyrical and sensitive guitarists in the world today. His flowing, clear sound touches the romantic feelings in all of us, and especially me. You know, I've heard you play some ballads lately, Kenny, and just hearing that one you did on your record, Gone Contemporary, Love Dance, that the way you played that made me really want to learn that tune.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a beautiful song, and as you know, the words mean a lot to music. So when the words have a special meaning, the song takes on a more special meaning.
Well, do you think of that when you're going to pick a song, what kind of a lyric it has?
Well, no, but I think it usually enhances the meaning for me when I understand the lyric, and especially if I like the lyric. You know.
Well, that's one tune that really, really hit me. And of course, I also like this tune that you brought, that you wrote yourself, Listen to the Dawn.
Thank you.
That's a very pretty song.
Thanks.
Slow ballad. And this would be a nice way to do it, maybe to actually start the show with you and I playing the two pianos, okay. Which is an extra surprise because I didn't know you were going to play piano today. And just lead off with this tune and see if I can do it justice.
We'll start out with the dawn.
Okay, here goes.
Thank you.
Oh, I love it. That's pretty. Are you going to put a lyric to it?
Yes, I think so. I don't know if I can do it, but a couple of people have asked me about that, and I think it might lend itself to a lyric. Thank you.
Well, you have done an awful lot of things since your early days in Detroit. Were you born in Detroit?
That's right, yeah.
And were you, I'm sure you were involved in some of those things that the Jones boys and all those people.
Right, well, we had quite a community there, and a lot of the friends that we share, the Joneses and Flanagan and many others that you know, and we had a nice, wonderful time getting our music together in Detroit, and so we're all scattered around now, but yeah, it was for me, a very fertile time.
I was in and out of there, but I sort of imagine that the jazz scene at that time was really terrific in Detroit, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, it was, the club scene was pretty good, but we had another thing going with amongst the musicians, where we would share a lot of ideas and share records, like I'm sure you did,
share
recordings. When the new recordings would come out, we'd share that and music, and we'd rehearse a lot and exchange ideas. And there were a lot of jam sessions, too, and not just in the clubs, in each other's homes and houses. And it really lent itself to getting stuff together, you know, and then the dream of getting ready to come to New York or wherever you're going to go, that all helped. And so it was really nice. And it was like a school almost, you know.
I read somewhere where you thought you might start on saxophone, and then you gave that idea up,
mm-hmm.
switched to guitar.
Yeah, well, when I first really got interested in performing, being a musician, we came from a pretty poor family, and this was during the war,
mm-hmm.
World War II, and saxophones being made out of metal were very expensive then.
Oh, yeah.
And however, guitars, this is before the age of all electronics, were pretty cheap. They were just plain wood, you know, and so we couldn't afford a saxophone, so I reluctantly settled for the guitar. But I had some advantage because I could already play a little bit, because my older brother Billy, who I always say is my first teacher, played the guitar. And I think probably one of the reasons I didn't want to play the guitar is because he played it already, you know. But I really loved the instrument, and I was also taken naturally by the sound of Lester Young and Coleman Hawkins and all those wonderful people, and then Charlie Parker. But I settled for the guitar, and particularly after I heard Charlie Christian.
Oh, yeah, my God, what a player he was.
Yeah, and he really took it and did wonders with it. But the other thing he did for me as a young teenager was he put the guitar in the front line with all the other instruments, with the electric guitar. He moved it right up there, and he could play the single lines, you know, with the same level as the saxophone and the trumpets. And then one more person who I must always speak of, and that's Oscar Moore.
With the
great Nat King Cole.
Nat Cole Trio, yeah.
You see, one of his big contributions was laying down a foundation for all these modern sounding chords that you hear us play
mm-hmm.
on the guitar. Well, Oscar Moore was really the pioneer of that for me. And so between those two guys, it was I was hooked.
I'd love to hear you play something or play a guitar solo.
Okay, sure. Let's see. I'll try Round Midnight.
Couldn't be a better choice.
Thank you.
It's just lovely hearing a tune played like that.
Thank you.
Goodness. And you managed to incorporate like Dizzy's ending that became part of the tune, really, didn't it?
Right, yeah.
It's so pretty. I, as a matter of fact, I'm always hoping that some of these kids that play in groups can hear somebody play the guitar like that and maybe change their ways.
Well, it's funny, you know, we, I guess you've seen it too, but as we play around different places and clubs and concerts, the audience is getting younger. It seems to be more young jazz fans, which is nice. And,
oh, it's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe more eager young guitar players.
Yeah. I've talked to quite a few lately, and it's good. I think shows good signs.
Absolutely. You know, I have to ask you, somewhere I heard that you were Duke Ellington's favorite guitarist. How did that come about?
I don't know. I guess I'm just lucky that way. But
well, did you meet him in Detroit? Or?
I met him, I guess, in Detroit. But I certainly had a chance to talk with him many times after I moved to New York and spent time with him.
Did you play with him at all?
Only once, in when we did a TV show called Love You Madly. I did that one.
Oh, yeah.
But I was on some sessions with Paul Gonzalez and Johnny Hodges, where he was there and submitting music. But I never really had a chance to play in the band. Actually, once he asked me to do something, but I was unavailable. I was tied up with some other studio stuff, and I couldn't get it loose. That was a thing he did, My People.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me to do that one, but I couldn't get away.
Boy, I just am so thrilled that, when I think about it now, that I got to know him as well as I did with being so long at the Hickory House. I always seem to talk about that because he spent so much time there, actually because he liked the food He would even sit in on occasions, and, you know, that was so wonderful for me.
Funny you mentioned that. That was, I think, the first time I ever really had a long conversation with him was at the Hickory House.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we met there one night, and he said, come on, let's have dinner, and we sat down, and it was the first time we really had a real long conversation. That Hickory House was quite a place, yeah.
It was, and so many musicians came there all the time, but I think he was the most regular, like whenever he was in town. Mm-hmm. Well, this is really a wonderful afternoon, chatting and playing, talking to my good friend and my guest today, Mr. Kenny Burrell. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Say we have a go at a duet.
Okay, let's do it.
This is going to be something that I heard on one of your albums. I'm old-fashioned.
Okay.
You want to start it out, or shall I start it?
You start it.
We're going to win this one,
either,
huh?
Either way, I'll start it if you like. Either one.
Shall I do a little intro?
Okay.
I love it in that key. It's funny, changing a key, for me, it just gives the tune an altogether different feeling. I don't know why, I just keep playing it in E-flat, and that just felt so good.
Yeah, the key change often makes the tune get a different kind of feeling, character almost.
Well, you're sort of involved with Ellingtonia in a way, because don't you teach a course at UCLA?
Yes.
All about Ellington's music?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing that for a number of years now, and I really enjoy it. As you know, the music is so rich and varied, and if you look at the whole phenomenon, which includes the contribution of Strayhorn and Carney and Hodges and all these other people, it's really special. And so that's why I do it, because I think it's great music, number one, and it gives me a chance to share some of the love and knowledge that I have about Ellington and that whole phenomenon with the young people coming up.
Do you play the music for them and have them learn some pieces?
Yeah, they learn. What I try to give them is a cross section of that whole repertoire so that they can learn to appreciate it, but also some analysis of the music in terms of the harmonies and the form. And also, I try to give them insight into the man. And he is a great role model to me, not just for musicians, but for a lot of people who want to be successful and creative at the same time.
You know, I was thinking, I was just about to play something for you, and I thought, well, the way we're talking, my mind is rambling over various Duke Ellington tunes. Maybe I should play a Duke tune.
That would be wonderful.
Instead of something else that I was thinking about. And this is probably one of his lesser-known tunes, but I don't know why. All Too Soon, you know
that
one?
Oh, I love it.
You
like that? I love it, yes, very much.
Well, I think I'd like to have a go at that because I used to enjoy playing that. Well, that's where I learned it, actually, at the Hickory House, again, to play for him. So
please do.
Still playing it for him.
Right.
I know he's there.
Thank you.
that was beautiful, Marianne. It's one of my favorite songs.
Thank you. I'm glad we got to talking about Duke Ellington because something somebody said to me one time, if you're having a bad night playing when things aren't going well, if you play a Duke Ellington tune, everything will turn around. And it's true because the way the tunes are, especially like a rhythmic tune like Love You Madly or something, mm-hmm. and the way they're put together, they can change your mood. I've always believed in that.
There seems to be an awful lot of positive energy in there as well.
I guess that's what it is. Well, this is really a wonderful afternoon talking to my good friend, Kenny Burrell. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. I was thinking about all the people you played with. Didn't you do a stint with Oscar Peterson years ago?
Yes,
how
I
was
did.
That? Was that? That must have been interesting, wasn't
that
it?
That was phenomenal. I learned so much working with that trio. And in fact, in those days, Ray Brown and I were roommates on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was really a real great learning experience. And I've had to... real good fortune in working with a lot of the giants and recording with them. You know.
Did you ever play with Coleman Hawkins?
Yes, I played with Coleman Hawkins and recorded several albums with him.
Because you've made such a great contribution and you've got so many albums. I wish I could name some of them. You must have a fantastic discography of things you've done of your own and people that you've worked with. And big bands, have you done that too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did about three or four albums with big bands. And I worked with Benny Goodman for a short time.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and I did some other tours. I toured once with Thad Jones' band, which was nice, and that was phenomenal.
Well, was Benny okay to you?
Yeah, well, I had no problems with Benny. I heard other people had some problems, but I was too busy trying to play the right notes.
Well, that didn't work with me. I don't know. I guess I wasn't always playing the right notes. And he never really quite told me what I was doing wrong. But I knew it was something, but I never really knew what it was.
Well, maybe he was just being mysterious.
Oh, he probably was trying to get my goat, you know, and put me off guard, which he succeeded in doing. So... But that was a great experience. I'm happy I was able to do that for a little while. Well, let's play another tune.
Sure.
What should we do?
Let's see. What is?
Oh, here's a nice. This is an old tune, and you know Alec Wilder loved this tune. Don't Worry About Me.
Yeah.
What key are we gonna do this in?
Can we try C?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Now this is gonna be a ballad, right?
Yeah.
You want an intro or you're just going to start on it?
I'll start it.
All right. Okay. Thank you. God, I think Don't Worry About Me is one of my all-time favorites. It's another one that doesn't get played a lot for some reason or other. Tunes go in, sort of go in cycles that they do with me. You know, I'll play a tune and then all of a sudden I sort of wear it out, stop playing it. Do you do that or do you?
Yeah, I think we all do that. We get in the habit of playing tunes and then some tunes get neglected and then we kind of rediscover them.
Yeah.
And I like this one as well. It's an all-time standard.
How do you pick tunes and decide what you're going to do when you're going to do a recording session?
I don't know, frankly.
Well, that's good.
I usually maybe have one or two things in mind, and then everything else kind of grows around that one or two couple of tunes, you know. And I say, well, it kind of sets up a kind of a mood, and that's usually the way I go with it, about it. Unless the album is purposely going to be variety, you know, then we reach in all directions. But oftentimes I try to create some kind of a mood and sustain the mood throughout. And it usually starts with maybe one or two pieces.
There was one really nice original. I'm trying to think of it. Was like almost a classical piece.
Ronnie's Decision.
Ronnie's Decision.
Yeah, that was Cedar wrote that. Cedar
did
Walton,
he?
Yeah.
It was very attractive.
Yeah,
like
that was
it was
nice.
Almost like what you did with it. It was sort of like Scriabin or something. It just gave me a very good feeling.
Yeah.
That tune. I'm having such a good time this afternoon with my guest, Kenny Burrell. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Be nice. I think I'd like to get out of the way and listen to you do a totally solo number. What could you do that would be nice, pretty?
Well, let's see. There's a tune by Tommy Wolfe that I like, that I do occasionally, and it's from a Broadway show which lasted 3 days, but the tune is still with us. It's called Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most.
You know, that's a great song. I love it. All right, go ahead.
Thank you.
You know, what you just did, Kenny, was so great on that tune. And I get the feeling that it's probably really hard when you're beginning to learn to play like that. Isn't it rather difficult when you're young and starting out on the guitar?
Well, you know, they say the guitar is one of the easiest instruments to learn to play and one of the hardest, because you can learn about four chords and you can play 500 tunes, or at least 300. But then when you want to get into, you know, the more sophisticated harmonies and intricate things, it becomes difficult. But that's, I guess, why the guitar is so popular. It's a fun instrument, and you can have a lot of fun with a few chords. You know?
Yeah, well, I know there's plenty of people out there doing it, but I was thinking to myself, I wondered if somebody that plays like you do, if you ever, in your student group, you ever get a fugitive from a rock band that says, oh, I really would like to play some better chords. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, that opens up a whole new world for that person.
Yeah, I see that happening because jazz is so deep. You know, there's so much to this music that a lot of people don't realize that the harmonies are so intricate, and it takes years of study to be able to move those things around, as you know, and to be able to handle it and really make sense out of it. And it's encouraging to me to see some young people really try and say, yeah, I'd like to try that, because they sense the depth there, you know, and I like that a lot.
Well, that's good. I like it too. Boy, I've heard too many of those four-chord things. You know, I could really get on the soapbox, but I won't. You know what would be fun? I know that you sing too. Couldn't we do a number where you'll sing and we'll do all our everything? I'll play and you'll sing.
Okay, sure. Well, one of the things that I like to do, which is a kind of a fun tune, and it's also another positive thing, is a piece, another piece by Ellington called "Lucky So and So."
Oh, that's a nice tune. Boy, we're really into Ellingtonian today, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Okay.
As I walk down the street, seems everyone I meet gives me a friendly hello. I guess I'm just the lucky so-and-so. The birds in every tree are all so neighborly. They sing wherever I go. I guess I'm just the lucky so-and-so. Now if you ask me the amount in my bank account, I'll have to confess that I'm slipping. That don't bother me. Confidentially, I've got a dream, and it's a pippin. And when the day is through, each night I'll hurry to a home where love waits, I know. I guess I'm just a lucky so-and-so. As I walk down the street, seems everyone I meet gives me a friendly hello.
I guess I'm just a lucky so-and-so. The birds in every tree, they're all so neighborly. They sing wherever I go. I guess I'm just the lucky so-and-so. Now if you ask me the amount in my bank account, I'll have to confess that I'm slipping. But that don't bother me. Confidentially, I've got a dream, and it's a pippin. And when the day is through, each night I'll hurry to a home where love waits, I know. I guess I'm just a lucky so-and-so. Yes, I guess. And I know. Yes, I know. Yes, I am. I'm just a lucky so-and-so.
That's great. You should do more singing. Did you ever do an album?
Yeah, I did an album.
I'm ignorant. I didn't know you did that.
That tune is on my vocal album. Yeah.
What label is that on?
On Columbia.
Oh, that's terrific. That's really nice.
Thank you, man.
Knock me out.
Thank you.
God, you know, so many things, more things to do and no more time to do them. This is terrible. What's coming up for you in the near future? What do you have going on?
Well, I've got a real nice opportunity this fall. I wrote some music. I had a commission to write some music for the Boys Choir of Harlem.
Wow.
And they're going to do an extended work of mine in the fall of this year, 93. And it'll be a premiere, so hopefully it'll go fine, go well anyway.
Oh, I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
It'll be terrific.
Thank you.
Has it got a name yet?
Not yet. We're toying with that, but it is an extended piece, and I had some fun writing the words as well as the music, yeah.
Boy, those kids are really something.
Aren't they?
That should be tremendous.
Yeah, I just enjoy so much working with them because they're so great and so energetic and talented, you know.
Yeah.
And Dr. Turnbull, who was the director, really keeps them in order. I mean, the level of musicianship is really high. You know?
I saw him in an interview somewhere, and I mean, he really runs a tight ship.
Yeah.
But I guess you have to. With a bunch of mischievous boys, no matter
right.
how good they are.
But it works.
Yeah, it sure
works.
Does work. Well, Kenny, I don't know. This has been such a nice afternoon, and I guess we might as well wind up with more, not Duke, but Strayhorn. Ellingtonia, anyway. How about if we do Rain Check?
That's great. Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you.
Boy, that really got into some kind of counterpoint.
Yeah, fresh counterpoint.
I was just going to get fresh counterpoint. Absolutely. No, that's a lot of fun, Kenny. Thank you very much for coming over.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz, an episode from 1993 with Marianne McPartland and her guest Kenny Burrell. Join us each week at this time for Piano Jazz with Marianne McPartland and outstanding jazz artists. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer Andrew Milano. Mastering engineer Bill Sexton. Executive producer Tom Clark. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To learn more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, the National Endowment for the Arts, NPR member stations, and NPR. The original production of this 1993 episode was made possible in part by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Support for digital archiving of Piano Jazz was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. And the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.